Hey, first question of all, what do you guys expect from a festival? When do you guys feel comfortable at a festival? What does a festival have to have in order for you guys to feel comfortable?
Well, alcohol, first of all. Alcohol is our basic one. Food, the necessities, alcohol and food. And then, backline, I guess, making sure you have the right equipment to put on the show. That's kind of a basic thing I normally don't think about. But then other than that, like pretty much like what we got tonight, like a beautiful stage with like a beautiful fucking hill up on a mountain. Like that's just that having the right setting. Like, you know, like when you just look at a festival, you're like, oh, this is beautiful. That kind of overall.
Very true. Yeah, he nailed it. Yeah, alcohol.
So you said you've been here since this morning, so you got to see a bit of the whole scenery of the whole festival. How do you like it here in St. Gallen so far?
We like it. It kind of reminds us a little bit of home, you know, especially being halfway across the world, just having some water, some green, some mountains, you know. That, we're all from the Pacific Northwest, so we feel right at home here, the weather and everything.
Yeah, it's a weird element to have everyone play outside in this single natural spot because, you know, you can only, as a band on the stage, they can only control the lights from and then the music from that one point of source, you know what I mean? And so everyone has to share the same surroundings, all the artists. So that's kind of interesting. We're all connected closer to the people that way, and I think that we noticed that, you know.
It's all about the connection with the audience, you know. Like we were just talking about the festival last night, we'd never been there, but we get that energy from the audience. Like you give and you give back and forth, and when you get that good trade-off going, you're just feeding off each other's energy. So we'll see if we get it tonight, but I think we're gonna kick off the vibes.
I'm actually pretty sure about that. people love you guys here. Yeah, including me.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like a 10 experience for us. We're always hoping for them. You never can find them again because it's a rare bird. But basically, if you see footage of like a Pantera concert, those are like the finest and the craziest things, you know, a concert could become. And anywhere from there to, you know, basic participation, you know, is a great experience. Yeah, staring at me like this would be like a 1. A 2 is that. A 3 is, you know, kind of bugging out a bit. 4, you're slamming out your friends, having a wild time, jumping up and down, and then, you know, you get the rest of the numbers.
I can imagine. So, I guess you guys, you have played a lot of festivals during your career, and you have probably been to festivals, I guess, as a normal person. So do you have like a special festival story that you would like to share?
I mean, honestly, we're usually working, and so we get all the shortcuts, we get to experience all the van rides and the cold water, and we usually get taken care of pretty well. And I will say, you know, it's definitely a hard experience for the concert goer, for the festival person. You know, they have to be careful to not get crazy screwed up, you know, drink water, you have to find shade. Oh man, when you see somebody partied out too much, like on, you know, the first day, and they're all red in the face and they're burnt and they're like, oh, where's my friends? You know, you're like, oh no, man.
Buckle in, buddy.
Buckle
got
in,
a long
pal.
Weekend.
Yeah, a couple more days to go.
So do you experience like any differences in the audiences, like how the audiences appreciate your music, appreciate the show from here in Switzerland or in Europe in general, compared to the US?
Yeah, you know, Switzerland always has a nice middle ground. Sometimes you go and people are just really into the music, almost so much they're kind of quiet and not, you know, even though they're into it, it's just like a... We get that sometimes, like in a, you know, certain places in America. It's kind of this attitude the audience has. Sometimes you get the crazy audiences that are just like so fucking wasted. They don't even want them. They're having a great time. Switzerland finds a really nice balance where clearly everybody's getting a little stony, getting a little loosey. But they're still into the music a lot in a nice way, which is a balance you don't always get. You know, we travel all over the world and get to see all these different countries. So Switzerland really hits the mark and hitting a lot of different qualities and just finding balance. Kind of everything about this country is just very nice.
Yeah, you guys are the vinyl of people.
That's a fucking awesome compliment, actually. I love to hear that.
Don't spread it around too many countries, though. You guys got to keep that to yourself.
Nice. So you guys play shows like in a lot of different like dimensions. Like you played Salzhaus Winter Tour last year, which is like a rather small club, and then you were like the third band on the billing of Coachella, and now you're here in open air St. Gallen. So which of these dimensions do you guys prefer, or do you have any preferations?
You know, I'm always like a fucking rock show for me is 300 to 500 people in a sweaty club. That's like our bread and butter. Like, we always go back to that. I think about a year and a half ago, we did a whole tour in the States for like 500 people a show. But, you know, you go in these, you play the festivals and, you know, you're there to win people over because everybody's not there to see you, you know. And if you think that, you're absolutely crazy. So you're kind of winning them over. But when you play these like club shows, everybody's there to see you, and there's this energy in the room that everybody knows three other people would be in that space they're taking up, and that makes them that much more stoked to be there. And like, we just come out, those shows are party. That's my favorite shit.
But you guys have been like releasing records frequently since 2006, I think, like albums and some EPs before that. But like the major breakthrough into the mainstream came like with Woodstock last year. Why do you think did that not happen earlier?
I mean, we're better now. You know, we're writing better songs than we were before. And just, you know, the band's slowly been opening up to more people. Yeah, I think we wrote better songs on this last record, and that's what we were trying to do. And hopefully that'll draw people in, because we have a lot. It's funny because, you know, we're not really like a one song band, you know, kind of the opposite, but it's funny that it's kind of a dichotomy. We are, you know, kind of a one song band. But yeah, we're just better. I don't know. We really just put in a lot of work over time. We've played, you know, it's kind of that 10,000 hours. Like, we know how to play a show. We've played about 2,000 of them. And people say it takes 20 years before you really start till you actually play your instrument. And I think a lot of us are just hitting that 20-year mark where it's like a different kind of understanding and just trying to get better.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, you know, basically you got 4, 5, or 6 people in a band, and you get what you get when those guys play music together. And you could spend literally those 20 years spending so much time like learning your Black Sabbath riffs, learning your Depeche Mode synthesizer tones, learning your Beatles phrasing on vocals, and then before you know it, you're like, well, here I am, now it's been forever. But, you know, it's important to, I guess, practice covers and have an awareness of the music all around. And but always try to be yourself. Never try to ape things. You know, like, it seems like, I don't know, that's, you know, just what we do pretty good.
Yeah, we like to cover a lot of, like, tonight we're going to play Metallica, we're going to play Black Sabbath, Pantera, I'm going to throw in some Wu-Tang, be a little Ghostface, Beatles, like...
Yeah, Floyd.
We and Pink Floyd, like, we like a lot of bands, and we tend to, instead of like shying away from our influences, we completely embrace it. And like all those bands that I just named, like, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for those bands. So like we love learning other band songs and playing other, that's where we find all of our inspiration. And a lot of people try to like shy away from that, and like, and we just completely embrace it, you know? We wouldn't be where we are without bands like Black Sabbath and Pantera.
Yeah, you just said it, like the whole metal band's background, but I think if I got it right, you guys have like a hardcore punk background as well, like with Anatomy of a Ghost, that was before Portugal the Man. So and now like your big songs like Feel It Still and Live in the Moment, They're like they went huge and are played in commercials and stuff. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, I if I'd be in your place, I think it's a good thing. I'd like it, seeing my music blow up. But maybe some more purists from the underground genres could say it's like, yeah, it kind of sucks. But what do you think about that?
I think anybody that comes to the show tonight is gonna go, damn, that was fucking heavy. I don't think we're the band. If people don't know us really, or they've never seen us play, and just think we're a pop band because we got a couple poppy songs, like, shit, man, we can write good songs, but we can fucking rock, dude. We bring a really heavy, heavy live show. We take a lot of pride, and any band has to play better live than they do on a record. I don't care who you are, how good your record or your live show is. Live show always has to be better than the record. That's something we always work really, really hard to maintain.
Yeah, some bands, you know, some bands, they only have, without dogging on them, they only have, it's a one-trick pony, almost, with certain styles of music. And I don't think that we are those types of people. I think that, for example, I think that, you know, like dudes like Frank Zappa and all those bizarre bands that were just, they were basically like, well, I'm gonna have a jazz thing here for a minute, and then it's gonna bust into a weird piano nonsense, and then I'm just gonna talk and sing by myself, and then we're gonna kick into some metal riffs, but then it's gonna go circus on you, and it's gonna be circusy and kind of weird, you know. It's like, basically, I don't know, to us, to me, you know, I think we're just trying to be weird within ourselves.
Just to be clear, we're not trying to be weird for the sake of being weird, though. I don't like when people try to be different. Like, look, there's only 12 notes. Like, there's not... Nobody's reinventing the fucking wheel here. You know what I mean? So, like, we're very, very aware of that.
The personalities, though. Personalities. So, you know, for kids that are... You know, when you're playing that kind of music, you're probably playing it when you're 20 years old, if you're playing punk stuff, or if you're playing aggressive music, it's because you're all pumped up and you're amped up as a young kid, you know, and the only reason you're probably playing it if you're 40 and 50 is because you're so in love with the music, and or you're making money at it or something. But, you know, tastes change, and I think it's okay for people to have flavor changes, you know what I mean? Like, for example, you know, yeah, it's just flavor changes, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I come from a hardcore punk background as well, and I used to listen to only like punk rock, hardcore, metalcore and stuff like that, and now I'm just like open to everything because, yeah, it just opens up. Another guy that's pretty, has a hardcore background, but also does rap and stuff is Casper, and you're pretty tight with him. How did that friendship come to happen?
He actually took us on tour a couple years ago. We were just looking to expand. You know, we've been coming to Europe for a long time, especially Germany, where he's from, and he's been a fan of the band since, like, he knew Waiter, U Vulture's first record and stuff. And I remember we showed up first day to open for his festival, huge, like some of the shows were like over 10,000 people, and like a bunch of our equipment didn't show up, a bunch of my keyboards, and like he just walked in and was like, hey, what's up, you guys need anything? Like, perfect English. We were like, oh my gosh. We started talking, we just hit it off that tour, became huge friends, and then we took him out in America, and he came and sat and rapped German. It was awesome, because, like, you know, you go to another country, so to have a friend, he'd go on stage and be like, hey, my friends are gonna come up, give him a warm welcome, like that. I mean, that does a lot, you know, because that's his crowd. So we wanted to return the favor. I mean, on a smaller scale, he came to America. We're like, hey, our friend's here. He's from Germany, you know. He's going to rap in a different language. And people were just really into it. So we've just stayed in contact. And he's came in. We've recorded together. We've worked on stuff together, party together. He's family.
And he's born in America too, you know. Yeah. So he's got a little. He speaks incredible English, and he's pretty hip to everything. He's a fun guy to hang out and party with. So, yeah.
I can totally imagine. I get that from like interviews, and he does that podcast thing. He seems like, even if he's like he blew up majorly and there's like a lot of fans, and in Germany like the fangirls are going crazy, he's still very, very. He seems like a very down to earth person, despite all of that. So I'm obviously I'm a pretty big music fan, and as a music fan, I'm always interested like in what kind of bands the musicians I like, I dig, listen to. So what do you guys like spin a lot recently?
I mean, there's a lot of us. We pretty much listen to everything. That's kind of, we're all very, very different in what we listen to. So
because music, we play music for a living. We're in this band for a living, and you know, yeah, we do this show. Now, what we need personally for our own support system, like what I need to help myself, what I need to heal myself, is not what Kyle needs to heal himself. You know, even though it's music, that's what's bizarre about it, and therefore that's why I meant by personalities. Certain personalities heal me and my soul. They might not work on Kyle. They might not work on John. You know what I mean? But, I mean, bands specifically, I like. I'm a sucker for Grateful Dead right now, Ariel Pink, John Mouse. But that's kind of sort of where I'm living right now. And it just, you know, I'm dabbling around here and there, but that's my current obsession of music right now. It's like that.
I was listening to the Phantom of the Paradise soundtrack this morning, the Paul Williams, the Brian De Palma movie from the 70s. I like 60s music a lot, obviously. I love the Beatles. I think they're the greatest band ever, just because they constantly reinvented themselves. Like, that reminds me of, like, a Picasso. It doesn't matter if he's making a sculpture. It doesn't matter if he's taking a shit. You know, fucking he took it. Like, I love that quality. I love Elliott Smith, and I love a lot of classical music. I really like that one-on-one connection. I like the idea of somebody sitting in their bedroom by themselves taking in art without their friends at a festival affecting their opinions, or just this one-on-one connection that you could really find. But if I play Chopin, you know, I really feel this connection with him. I just went to his museum. I like the one-on-one. I like Elliott Smith, you know. I like really depressing shit. It makes me happy.